All right, look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 3. I'll start reading at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, underline family, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the what? Fullness of God. Now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. We're talking again about the Father and his family. And today we're going to be talking about rooted and grounded in love. Now, in this, I want you to turn over to a scripture with me, and I want you to just let your imagination run just a little bit. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. All right. Let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord. All right, everybody there? Okay, you can see it on the board if you haven't gotten there. Just write down the reference. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Weight and the what? Sin which does so what? Easily beset us. And let us run with what? Patience the what? Race that is set before us. So you have a race that you have to run. I have a race that I have to run. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, now, let's read the next verse, praise God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and do what? Faint in your minds. All right. Now, look at verse 1. You're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All right. So you're surrounded right now with a great cloud of witnesses. Okay. Now that compassed about, that's in the Old Testament over in 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha was compassed about with the Syrian army, that they were on every mountain, that they were overlooking him. They weren't going to let him escape. Now you are compassed about by this cloud of witnesses. So people who have confessed Christ and their life on this earth has ended, they are now as a part of those who are making up the cloud that are right now watching what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
You got what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, they are part of your family. But they no longer have this physical body. So they had to leave here. But they're still a part of your family. And it's the whole family. So they are a part of your family. Got it? Now, who is the Father? God. And he's the Father of spirits. So, you are a spirit.
Yes, sir.
You have a body, you live in a body, and you have a soul. But you are a spirit.
Amen.
So, that part of you is going to live on forever. But this natural part of you, this body, this physical body, that's going back to the earth. So the real you is kin to me. Got it? The real you is kin to me. Now, this is part of growing up. Because once we're babies, we're still controlled by our natural five senses. That's the limitation. And our feelings are the things that dictate and our carnal or natural logical thinking are the things that dictate who we are, or basically how far we can go. All right? Now, that is key, because once I grow up, I realize that you and I are a part of the same family. Now, your body may be a different color than mine, but we're still kissing cousins. You know, we're still brothers and sisters. Are you following what I'm saying? See? And that we are connected together. So this is a revelation that you can only get through growing up.
Amen.
So the only time racism can exist in the church is that you still got a baby Christian.
Amen.
You still have a carnal believer. And as long as you've got that, then they have invested all of their thinking and their basis for operating on the flesh. That once you get born again, you are not born again. You are not born of this natural realm.
Amen.
Are you following what I'm saying? That whole family. So turn to John chapter 3, please, real quick. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. All right, in John chapter 3, look what he says here in verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we would not know, no, the Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born what? Again, keep going. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, my center column reference says born from above. So the Greek original says born from above. So Jesus said born from above. So you and I are born from above. Now, as we are born from above, we are born into a family. And the family that we're born into is the family of God. Now, this sounds simple, but it's profound. Now, as you have done that, God, you are part of the body, oh Jesus, of Christ. Let me back off of this thing just a little bit here. All right. what is Jesus doing? He came, gave his life, raised from the dead, and now sent back the Spirit. That what is happening is God is reuniting himself with his family. Because they got separated through Adam's sin. So now a new family has to be born. Because the old family got the nature of Satan. So now God is sending Jesus that he creates a new family. And this family, Lord have mercy. Help me, Holy Ghost. Now, I got some stuff down here that I don't even think I want. You'll take it. Now, in this, the Father has plans for your life. And we are his workmanship. And that Jesus was the sample son. He came to show us how to live. Because man had lost his association with the Father, he had lost his knowledge, his or her knowledge, of who he really was. So the things that come up with are the theories of, you know, you came from a rhesus monkey and you evolved over time and so forth like that. And all of that is man's natural ability trying to find his origin without the knowledge of God. So God brings forth in his family, and Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my what? Church. Now, when, and I taught this before, but I'm going to teach it again. Turn to Matthew chapter 16 real quick. Matthew chapter 16. Boy, I tell you, you got to take your time with this stuff, because as fast as I give it to you, the Holy Spirit is talking to me. Let me know when you get there. In verse 16, I won't read 13. 13 says, Jesus came to him and said, to go to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou, John the Baptist, some say Elias, other Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Underline, reveal. All right? And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, let's just cover that for just a minute. So, some say you're John the Baptist. Some said you're Elias or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Now, at first they were guessing. And guessing was a part of a fallen man's ability to guess. Matter of fact, we call it trial and what? An error. Because there's more errors than there is trial. Okay, but that knowing was the property of God's son, Adam. He said, Adam, the day you eat of this tree, you... The day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Something like that. But the knowledge there, and I've taught this before, is the word diath in Hebrew, which means knowledge that comes through experience. See, the day you eat of this tree, now all your knowledge is going to have to come through experience.
That's good, preacher.
Got it? So when man fell, now all of his knowledge has to come through these five physical senses experiencing something. And if he doesn't quite know, he starts guessing about it. You got what I'm saying? But Jesus, it came to take us back to the Father and his family. He came to take us back to the fact that you don't need to guess anymore. Are you with me? Your days of guessing what is right are over. Now, how do you know what's right? The same way Adam named animals. How did he know what their names were? He downloaded it. God knew. So because you are connected with the Father, you know. Let me. I did something. Let me see if I've got this thing. I might have left it at home. Just a minute. I didn't leave it at home. It's here somewhere. All right, now, here's what I want to show you. I can show you without... that, here it is. Okay, now this, see this, what I'm teaching now is revelation. And you need revelation to grow. You can eat the other bread, but it's a month old. And some of the nutrients are not as vital as they are with this fresh bread. It's called fresh manna. Hear what I'm saying now? And it was meant that the church be fed revelation. Lord have mercy. But anyway, now look at, put something right there, and look. Now this comes through prayer and study. Now I didn't get this eating sugar daddies all day. This came through, you know, hour and a half or so of praying in the spirit and so forth. But look what it says. Over in 1 Corinthians, now I'm saying I do that because I've got to lead you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. I'm not saying you have to pray that long and so forth. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I'm going to feed you this. But I had to get it from God first. I had to download it from God to get it for you. All right, look what it said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. Verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen, that's your natural eye, nor ear heard, that's your natural hearing, or entered into the heart of the man, the natural part of you, the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him, but God has revealed them to us, what? By his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Got it? All right. Let's go on down. Verse 12, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might what? Come on with the word. Say it again. Say it louder. Know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not of the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which who teacheth? The Holy Ghost teaches. Now notice, in this category, experience is not the best teacher. Who's the best teacher? The Holy Ghost is. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, he's going beyond natural knowledge. He's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Lord have mercy. All right, let's go to verse 14. But the natural man, See, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what to him? Foolishness to him. Neither can he what? Come on. Know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So Adam did not learn in the garden, because learning comes from a series of experiences and so forth that you can put them all together and come up with this answer. Not discerning. Discerning just downloads the answer. Are you with me what I'm saying here? Now, as we look at this, look what it says here in verse 15. But he that is what? Spiritual. Come on. Judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So he that is spiritual. So one of the reasons why the enemy doesn't want you to grow up is because you become spiritual. But when you become spiritual, you can what? You can judge. Here comes the judge. All right? Let's look at a case where he did judge. Let's go over here, if you will, to, let's go New Testament. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 17, please. Matthew chapter 17. Lord have mercy. Matthew chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 17. Okay? Let me know when you get to Matthew chapter 17. All right, Matthew chapter 17, look what it says here in verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter. And they said, does not your master receive pay tribute, pay taxes? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus did what? Prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? What thinkest thou, Simon? What thinkest thou? Now, what is he saying? What is that saying to about your ability as a member of the family of the Father? What thinkest thou, Simon? Now, how did Jesus know to ask Simon that? Folks, when you're spiritual, you can discern the thoughts. You got to hear what I'm saying, folks. You see, there's nothing hidden. You can't hide it. God has given you equipment that you go into this world and the devil can't even hide anything from you. Come on back over here. Come on back over to 2 Kings and chapter 6. Say discern. How many times have you read in the Bible that Jesus knew what those Pharisees were thinking? Folks, that's just not Jesus. He was a sample son. He said, the things that I do, shall you do. Why? Because you are part of the family. If God is no respecter of persons. Now understand, we hadn't been thinking that way. We hadn't been thinking that we've got that kind of ability. Are you with me? Ah, Lord. Look what it says here. Now this, I'm talking about the father and his family. Because as long as you think racism, now when I say that, I mean, as long as people are hung up on this thing down here, they can't get involved in this thing up here.
Come on, Pastor.
See, I don't care how much money he has or doesn't have, he's still your brother. Watch this. I don't care how much he weighs or doesn't weigh, he's still your brother.
Amen. Come on.
I'm kind of meddling just a little bit now. But my point to you is see, we're many times sizing it up in the flesh. But if all of a sudden all this flesh fell away, now you got little Jesuses. You gotta have them because you came from this word. You came from the seed of the word of God. And Jesus said, Jesus was the word. He was the seed God used to birth every one of us. So now that I'm going to the nations, I'm saying, hey, this African brother is my brother. I'm down in Panama. Hey, this Latin brother, this is my brother down here. You follow what I'm saying? And once you see that, there's a whole different relationship that can be established, see? But not only that, you move up to another realm of operation. You can discern stuff. Because as long as the enemy can keep you carnal, where there's envying among you, look what she got on. She thinks she's something. Now, you aren't supposed to even be looking at that. That's her problem. Say amen to that. Help me now. Sure it is.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Now, thank God for education. We need education. We're going to do some things now for our young people, because for some reason, our young people, they don't have the desire for college like they should. And that troubles me. That bothers me, because they need some discipline. But anyway, are you with me here? The whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're compassed about by a cloud of brothers and sisters. Hey, brah. I'm just doing that now. They heard that. But I'm saying you can't rise. You can't get the advantage of hearing and discerning things, because if you're down here, you can't hear too much noise down there. You got to come on up where it's peaceful. Are y'all with me here? See, I'm talking to your spirit now. I can tell I'm talking to your spirit. Your spirit is coming alive to this. See, there's an outer man, then there's a what? Inner man. Are you following what I'm saying? And the inner man is the one that you need to develop so that you can take back the spoil. There's a whole lot of things God wants to give you, but he can't give them to you as long as you're walking around in the flesh.
Amen.
You think about it. If you're in the flesh, and the enemy runs the flesh,
right,
and then he gives you a bunch of stuff, mm-hmm, the enemy just won't do anything but use you with it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen.
Is this the right bunch I'm talking to tonight? Woo! Okay. I know. Okay. Now, verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this what? Rock I will build my word. What? My church. All right? Now, what they didn't hear is something religious. They didn't hear that, because the word church is ecclesia, which has to do with a political governing body. So what they heard was, upon this rock I will build my ecclesia. Upon this rock I will build my governing body. That's what they heard. They didn't hear anything about They heard that. You with me? So when they heard that, not everything shifts, because I did a little study of the word paradigm, and I think I let you have this before, but paradigm is a map of the mind. It's a way you see things, and it shapes what we see or what we do in a cultural context. In other words, it's your mental organization. It leads you to a certain attitude or behavior, the way you see things. So if you have to change the basic paradigm out of which things grow. If you want to change somebody's behavior, then and you don't change their paradigm, then they'll eventually come back to the behavior that they had before. And the reason why is because the foundation or the map or the paradigm or the mental organization was never altered. And so what happens in this is once you organize mentally that the church is not, when he said that, he did not speak of something religious, but he spoke of a governing body. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. Then now your behavior will change. When you discover Psalm 115, verse 16, the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, all things are yours. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Dominion means, one thing means stewardship, another means ownership. So let them have dominion. So when you discover that as a father's child, as a member of the family, that this earth belongs to your family, then you take a different attitude about what goes on in it. See, I got a different attitude now. Because I'm the governing body in this earth, whatever I permit to be here, God will permit. But if whatever I bind and forbid to operate here, God will make forbidden. And that God is a king. So if he's a king, then I gotta be royalty. Yeah. Folks, if you believe that and you're broke today, you would not be broke. Because you have never seen a broke king. You have never processed that. We're still down here in this flesh. And we gotta come out of this place. Now, I know you got flesh on you and you got to take care of it. But my point to you is you can't be limited by it. Amen. Because that's what God did with Jesus. Jesus said, hey, if that should be you, Peter said, if that be you, bid me to come to you on the water. What did he do? He went past the boundary of his flesh. He got on the water and walked on it. Amen. Flesh doesn't walk on water. Amen. But when you convert over, And more of the spirit come through you, it will overpower your flesh, and you can go beyond. Oh man, y'all. Are you with me now? All right, now let's go a step further. When a person is not developed and not grown up, a strategy of Satan is to keep us or reduce us to the level of a natural man. That is his strategy more than anything else. All right? We are created and recreated in the God class, Ephesians 2 and chapter 10. So that means we're able to function on a supernatural level. Got it? Turn to Romans and chapter 5. I'm almost done. Romans chapter 5. Amen. All right. Let me know when you get there. All right, I'm going to make a statement. You ready? The enemy is using spiritual forces to win. I'll say it one more time. The enemy is using spiritual forces to win. Okay. In other words, there are all kinds of forces that are assisting the Gentiles. All kinds of forces. Can I go to one real quick? Keep something right there. I got to show you this. Now, don't y'all, I'm going to let you out in just a minute. I got 4 minutes, 13 seconds. I'm going to let you out, okay? Just stay with me for just a minute. Man, I can be preaching my best stuff. Okay, let's go to Numbers chapter 22, please. Numbers chapter 22. Hello? Numbers chapter 22. Let me know when you get there. Hello? You with me? Now, what did I tell you? I know I told you number 22. I told you that all kinds of forces are assisting the Gentiles. Why? To win over you. Because you are not to take back this earth. They're assisting. Now, they cannot defeat you, and truly they cannot hinder you. But if you are carnal and have not grown up and don't understand your position in the family of the Father, then they can do some things to frustrate your life. Now, let's just look at this now, because this is a teaching for me, folks. Verse 22, chapter 22 and verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, as the son of Beor, unto Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail now, or that we may smite them." Now, what is Balaam doing? That, right. So, Balak, king, sent for a diviner, a sorcerer, to come and send out a curse against God's people. Now, in provoking that curse, what he does is use himself as a channel for demons to go and frustrate those people. I said to you that the enemy is using these forces to win. They've been winning contracts. Oh, you got to hear what I'm saying. See, you should have had that job by now. I'm just telling you that there is a realm up here that as long as the enemy can keep you and I down here in the natural, talking about what color you are and how much clothes you got and what kind of car your car looks like, as long as he can do that, he can keep the people of God frustrated, because now he's using spiritual forces to win. And you cannot war against spiritual forces in the natural. That now you've got to go up in the spirit. And you can't go up in the spirit and in the natural at the same time. One of them is going to fall away from your life. Are you following what I'm saying? So as soon as you get a good word in here, you go home. Now somebody starts an argument. Now they've just pulled you back down out of the spirit, down in the natural, and you're down there, you know, fussing with somebody where you're not supposed to strive with anybody. You're in a war right now. You can't afford to be striving with somebody. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, he hurt my feelings. That's the baby in you. And you need to grow up because your growing up is a choice. It's a choice, man. You got to choose. Just like you're going to lose weight, you say, I'm about to lose 5 pounds. Now, that's all it is to it. When that pie comes by, you got to let it flow. Don't take it. Leave it. It's a choice. Growing up is a choice. You can choose to love that brother, or you can choose to hate him. Say amen to that. But the enemy wants you to stay in unforgiveness, in bitterness, and holding something against somebody who did something to you 20 years ago, and he wants, because the man walked out on you or the woman was unfaithful to you, wants you to hold that. My friends, any man that is in Christ is a new creature. You got to let that thing go because it's trying to keep you from your wealthy place. Everything God has for you, it's trying to hold back your healing, trying to hold back your kids being saved, everything. Are y'all with me? And it is a choice. You can choose to forgive him. Well, I don't feel like I have. Say you have. Are you following what I'm saying here? Jesus was on that cross and they had come against him. Now the Bible says something about, and I'd have to find the scripture, but it says something about if your brother offends you, forgive him. And if he offends you 7 times in the same day, forgive him. Now, you're trying to figure out, now, how is that going to work? See? But if you do it, there's a reward for you. Oh, I'm out of time. Can I just cover this last point right here? Are we, y'all with me? Let me show you something else. Let me show you something else. Turn to Job. Job chapter 1. See, I'm preaching to myself. Because somebody has, and they've messed with me. And I ain't kidding you. I started talking. I started saying, hey, you know, uh-huh. Really? And trying to impugn my name and my character and stuff that I never did. My whole intention, my stuff is clean. The IRS went through me 2 years ago or whatever it was. They went all the way back to, how far back did you pull that record out that time? 18 years back, so forth, clean as a whistle. Went through the ministry. I'm a tither. I ain't cheating on nobody. I ain't got no woman on the side. And are you following what I'm saying? My stuff, as far as I can check it, as clean as a whistle. I ain't stole no money from those members, nothing. Amen. Clean as a whistle. The only intent that I have, period, is to try to get you into the place where God has planned for your life. That is the only thing. The biggest sin that I have in my life is not getting enough rest. And I've got to fix that, because I'm always concerned about God's people. I do not want to have God's people to have a debt of this building over their heads. I do not want that, because I care about you. But that's what I'm talking about. And yet somebody has tried, and I'm telling you folks, it's not folks that you don't know and way out there and so forth. It's somebody right up on you. I know what Jesus is talking about. That man that traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years is the same one who ran out and got those people and sold Jesus down the river for 30 pieces of silver. Sold him down the river. Jesus had fed him, had protected him, had taught him all he had and everything. Sold him. I'm telling you, David went through it with Absalom, one of his sons. Sold him down the river. While Jesus, but David, who had his back turned, tried to snatch David's ministry. Have people to see him as the leader and not David. Are you following what I'm saying? And here's Saul trying to kill David for nothing. David defeated Goliath, defeated the whole Philistines, and Saul got jealous and wanted to kill him. And what did David do? Ran. And they tried to get David to turn on Saul. Just, he's trying to kill you. So he said, no. Touch not God's anointed and do his prophets no harm. See, David stayed with the word, and Jesus stayed with the word. He hung on that cross and he said this. He said, Father, forgive them. Praise God. And that's when they had used him, abused him, beat him, turned their back on him. Peter denied him 3 times and even cussed about it. I don't know the so-and-so. And Jesus still loved him. Because love will never fail. It will never fail. Rooted and grounded in love. That's what I'm talking about. And God talked to me. Tonight I'm getting ready for this message. He said, son, they hurt you. I said, yes, sir. They really did, sir. He said, you forgive them. He said, don't let that build up in your spirit. He said, I got somewhere I want you to go. And the devil's trying to bring you down to the level of a natural man. Because a natural man can't forgive them. Now that's for somebody right here. And it's a choice that you can make today. I'm saying the enemy is trying all kinds of forces to stop you. But let me tell you, folks, offense will blind you. It'll separate you from the Father. It'll keep you from your divine calling and will open up the door to the devil to put sickness on you, to put tragedy in your life, to cause accidents on the highways. But the key thing is it'll separate you from the Father. Let me say, not only do you have to forgive other folk, but you got to forgive yourself. Yeah. Better forgive yourself. Look at Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. And look at verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Not a thing. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this time that we have in this dispensation, you're going to have an opportunity to get mad at somebody. But I'm telling you right now, God has given you the power to forgive. Because the love of God has been shedded abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, that he would grant me according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. To him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Give the Lord a praise for that, would you? Yeah. Everything gonna be all right. Because love will never fail. God will pull us through. You remember when Miriam got offended because Moses had married that black woman and she became leprous. Korah got offended because Moses didn't choose him. His whole company, 250 people, I think it was, got swallowed up in the earth. Remember? Michelle, David's wife, saw David dancing before the Lord and got offended. And her womb shut up and she could have no more children. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't pay to carry offense. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. If you're here tonight, you know that you need Jesus. I want to pray with you. I'm not asking you to join our church tonight. You could do that if you desire, but if God is speaking your heart about going somewhere else, we'll send you there. But tonight, don't leave here like you came. You've heard some good news.